It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hot. Broadcasting live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Good Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're driving about town, listening on 93.3, or if you're here on War Chant TV in the HISO Lincoln Law Firm chat, good to have you on board. We appreciate you. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. There is Director Matthew on Twitter. It is at J Cameron Show. And away we go. What a great weekend. What a busy, productive, satisfying. I think that's the way to say it. Probably satisfying weekend. If you're a Noel, you win a top 10 series on the road in baseball, take 2 of 3. And then, of course, you just saw a bevy of great young men from Florida State get drafted, including Jordan Travis in the 5th. How great was that? Happy for him. And what a great representation for Florida State. It's not surprising. We said going into the draft they would have a ton of guys taken, and they did. And I think there's a couple good articles on warchant.com about that. Ira and Corey both writing pieces about that. Of course, last week on the show, right before we went to break for the weekend, I had Matt Lasser on, and we tried to monitor this past weekend to see what was going to happen in the transfer portal. And as of right now, it's kind of, all right, still waiting to see. Still waiting to see something big here. It'll happen at some point. Yours truly booked it on down to Tampa. Saw the Lightning win and not go out with a whimper, which was nice. Got to see a little 6-goal effort as I was center ice for that one, which was nice. And now you fight to stay alive tonight. I know you guys don't care about that, so I'll get it back to the Noles. But that's a big series win against Duke. Hello, Tommy. How are you? I know you're a little tired. You've been traveling the States as well, but you're back, ready to go, and it's good to see your face, buddy.
Hey, it's good to see you too. Yeah, a little tired. If I sound a little beleaguered, there was one of those 11 p.m. Pacific flights that land at 7 o'clock in New York, so hard to fall asleep on a plane, even in Comfort Plus, buddy. Hard to fall asleep on a plane in those circumstances. So we'll figure it out, though. We'll get the body clock righted, and it won't affect us like it did, of course, Stanford all those years ago when the college football playoff committee was citing, well, I mean, it's body clock. It was a noon kickoff at Northwestern. There, it's 9 a.m. for them.
I don't know what I think big picture, because football carries the day, I'm more pleased, I suppose, with the sheer numbers of Noles that went and others that got signed as undrafted free agents. And again, a fine representation of a drastic turnaround for this program under Mike Norvell. But as it pertains to like a singular season and what matters more, Florida State going and getting one and two, game one and two on the road against Duke, and in the fashion that they did it, really is going to pay huge dividends here, because you kind of knew what was coming yesterday. I think everybody under the sun realized it really doesn't matter. We won the series. You're going to throw a bevy of arms that aren't really prepared for this situation, and it showed. They got their ass lit and run ruled, and you weren't even mad because you realized you did what you needed to do there before coming home and having a huge series this weekend. I got to tell you, I'll be out at Hauser this weekend, and so will my father and my boys and Johnny Mack. They're all sitting in there with Section B, Tommy. They're going to be ready to roll.
Outstanding. I have something for your dad. I have a gift for him I'll bring down next time. I don't think he's in any rush to get this, but it's cool. On Saturday at Oracle Park in San Francisco, they gave away number 24 New York Giants jerseys before you went into New York baseball Giants jerseys before you went into the park.
Oh, and yeah, so that'll be neat.
It was to the first 15,000. We were there. We were there early because we wanted to walk around, see the sights, and it was a glorious night for the Buccos as they won in extra innings. So I've got that for Dad as we get down there probably in the summer. I'll bring it with me.
So what was for you the most surprising, either good or bad, selection of a Florida State football player? Like, the most surprising probably where he was had to have been Jordan Travis in the fifth round?
Yeah, probably so.
Because of the injury.
I will tell you, though, you know, social media, it did the right thing. Sometimes social media is really, really cool. But when I learned that Braden Fisk was also going to the Rams, because I was chasing my tail a little bit. We had some family stuff this weekend. And so I would check my phone intermittently. And when I saw that Braden was going to the Rams, immediately my heart skipped a beat because I know how close they are.
Yeah.
This is the benefit of us going to practice. And I've got those stories. I've told those stories about Fisk and Verse standing with Odell Hagans and going through angles and stunts and twists and all kinds of things that they can employ together as a duo, and how they walk out of practice together and they're yucking it up with each other and they seem to really enjoy each other's company. As soon as that happened, as much as I don't like the Rams, as much as I don't like Sean McVay, as much as I think they bastardized those uniforms that were perfect and they make them into these neon nonsense things, I immediately thought, if the Rams are on in the 4 o'clock window, I'm going to be tuning in, because I get to watch these two guys work together. So it wasn't a surprise in terms of where he landed on the board, what round he was drafted, but that a team actually did it and they put two Noles next to each other again on the defensive line. That is so freaking cool.
You've seen the video. I know you've seen the video.
Of course.
I mean, the video is amazing when they break down. And yeah, you can see the love that they have for one another. And it really is part of a larger conversation that we've continued to have. Now, I don't know how many times I've tried to convey this as a guest on other shows, but, you know, we get asked, if you cover the team and you have a radio show like I do, or a podcast, or both, or whatever, you get asked to be on other people's shows when they're previewing games, or previewing the draft, or previewing anything that involves Florida State. And I do a lot of shows. And a lot of people have asked a different version of the same question over and over and over again about how quickly Florida State got it turned around. And they've talked about Mike Norvell, and they've asked about the secret, you know, what's the secret formula? And I've said, well, it's evident to everybody that they do a very good job in the portal. I mean, obviously, just look at the names of people that they have brought in here and how those players performed once they got here, elevating their stock, improving upon their stock, and then obviously getting drafted. It resonates, and it's really only going to help Florida State down the line and continue to help Florida State grow. But I said, it's not enough to look at Jermaine Johnson, it's, you know, Keir Thomas. It's not enough to look at the bevy of transfers that just went in this draft for Florida State and just say, well, they're really good at identifying players at other programs and bringing them in. Because anybody can do that. Anybody in college football is allowed to find those same players, but nobody's really done that better than Florida State has and Mike Norvell has. And I think what you praise here is twofold. It's identifying talent and evaluating how that fits with what you're trying to do. And then, again, sticking to a standard by which you green light a yes or no on that transfer. There have been plenty of guys, and I can tell you this, I know this for a fact, that wanted to be here, whose profiles were highly touted, who were guys that other programs wanted, high-profile programs, that Florida State, upon further review, said, you know what? Good luck to him. This isn't going to work for us. And the way they do it is smart, because it's usually a no hard feelings. Hey, it's okay. You know what? We're not for everybody. Mike says that line all the time. We're not for everybody. Well, really what he's saying is, yeah, we're not for everybody, and everybody's not for us. So the truth is, there has to be an understanding when these offers are made and a conversation about what you're going to be, the standard you'll be held up to, what is expected of you, etc. And that's why it has worked. It's not just, hey, identify a kid who runs real fast and bring him in here because we need a guy who runs real fast. It's not just, hey, you know what? You need a defensive end. Go grab that defensive end. Sure. Look, we're not naive. The people that you're talking to have to be talented. They have to be good football players. But that's assumed when you go through the process that, look, I wouldn't be talking to you if you couldn't play. Just because you're a locker room fit, if you suck, it doesn't do us any good. But there are a lot of check marks, a lot of boxes to check. And that's one of them. It's not the only one. And they've done a really, really good job of adhering to that. And it's one of the reasons that time and again, with these transfers that get drafted, when you listen to their interviews, and I'm not saying it's 100%. Not everybody that's come through here has thought this was the greatest place on earth. I'm not telling you that. But the vast majority of the impactful transfer portal players that have come in here and helped shift this program into one of the top 10 in the country, top 7, 6, 5 in the country, have all had glowing things to say about, in some cases, a very brief time in Tallahassee, right? Glowing things to say about what the coaches helped them achieve, the steps they took, what the locker room was like, what the work ethic was, the leadership they gained, the trust they were able to render. You know, it's interesting to watch that play out. I think it all plays out in these drafts when these kids talk about the coaching staff and talk about their time at FSU and talk about playing with each other. A lot of them really like to talk about what it meant to come in together, build this thing back up, and now see it come full circle where all of a sudden Florida State's back to being what Florida State used to always be, which was a program that won a lot of football games but also churned out NFL talent.
Yeah, you know, we need to get better in high school recruiting so we have those stories more often in the NFL draft. But, man, I like when we get transfers and these stories work out because the transfer arrives here hungry by nature. And I know that this word is thrown around, and sometimes it's a whistle, and I don't mean it in that way. They're not entitled. Like a lot of times when you grab a top flight four-star or a low five-star or any kind of five-star really that comes to your program, they've never been told no in their life. You know, the adversity that they're going to face in college as a football player is the first that they're going to know as an individual. Like they've never had an issue all the way from being Pop Warner through high school football. And so there's an adjustment. There's a method of coaching through that particular adversity that they've never faced. And that's the development that they need to go through. And it's a journey I want us to go on more often. We need more players out of high school. But I love when you have players that come to the university with something to prove. So they're already here. You don't have to go through that process. Either they were passed over out of high school. They hadn't grown into their body, Jared Verse, the way that they did once they found a place, a home at FCS or a lower level or a group of five where there was a coach fired or whatever it is. It's just I like seeing the culmination of these stories because those kids understood the assignment immediately when they arrived in Tallahassee and they chose Florida State in a much, much different way than 17 and 18 year olds choose Florida State. We need both. We need more out of prep. That's how you're going to build long-term success. But I just like seeing when these stories of kids who didn't have all of those offers, they didn't go on those official visits, they get their crack at it because of the transfer portal, and then they're able to make money like a Braden Fisk is able to make money, like a Jared Verse is able to make money. That is so cool to me. And that's what this NFL draft class represents by and large. Now, there are others who fought through it from beginning to end, like Renardo Green. And I think San Francisco is going to fall in love with Renardo Green. What an incredible value he's going to be. Actually, being out in San Francisco when he was drafted, I was able to give a lot of people. You're going to like this guy. He is a bruiser. He's a bully. He can play press man. This is going to work for you. So we have both of those stories. This is a feel good moment for this program. Double digit draftees. I think it should have been more. And frankly, I think our Bucks got a steal with Kalen DeLoach as an undrafted free agent. Cause you know, if he makes the squad as a special teamer and then your fourth linebacker or something along those lines, that's an excellent undrafted free agent signing with great value for the Bucks. But yeah, 10 is a number I thought was a little lower than I expected, but a lot of good stories this weekend.
Could have more next year. We'll talk to Ira in hour number two about that very subject. He brought it up in his 3-2-1. We do need to touch on the baseball. That was big. Also look at, you know, just the draft as a whole. I will say it's fun to be a part of a question. Okay, so you do these post-draft grades that people do, and it really kind of puts typically the feather on the cap or the cherry on top of the previous college football season. Because now all the big names that we saw at all the big programs, we've seen it through. They're no longer associated as an active player with their university, and they've moved on to the pros, and we know their location. So we know, you know, for all these programs, you know, whether it's all of our guys, whether it's a player like Terrion Arnold or Dallas Turner at Alabama or any of the Georgia guys, or we know where they all are now. And we start thinking about the fits and how that worked. But also we start thinking about the teams. And this is where it's fun being us, finally, to be back at this place. Who, when you lose double-digit NFL players, it's a fair question to ask, who's going to struggle to replace them the most? Who is in a position to replace those players with something of a similar caliber player? It's rare that you would see. So, for example, and I'll get more into this on the other side of the break. But, I think Michigan's going to have a hard time. I think Alabama could have a hard time. This isn't a shot at Michigan, but you think about that volume of players. That's crazy. They had 18 players earning invites to the scouting combine, for example. By the way, we had 12 to the scouting combine. Washington had 13. Texas had 11. Georgia had 11. So, obviously, the best teams in the country, of which Florida State were amongst them, had the most invitees, and then you have, you know, the actual draft itself. But if you're Michigan, you lost 10 of 11 starters on offense, plus your head coach. So you might want to say that that's going to be harder for them to replace. Don't know. Then you go back over and you look at an Alabama who lost their head coach, and we can go through the bevy of players that they lost as well and how much more difficult that will be. And then also, you know, then we come back home and we turn the camera back on us and say, all right, well, now, admittedly, we like what's happened here, but man alive, that is a lot of talent that just exited to the league. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hey, guys, I talked to you last month about my experience fitting with PXG, specifically the Black Ops driver and the fitting I had up here in Westchester, New York. I'm back to tell you, I now have it in my possession. It was mailed to me, specified exactly as I needed it with my club fitting. I am super excited to see how this driver performs for me. For a random Joe off the street, I'm a guy who can hit the ball pretty far. My carry numbers are somewhere between 240 and 260, depending upon how often I'm playing the game, but I hit it low and I drive that ball. I've had a Titleist TS3 driver for years, 8.5 degree. Sometimes it's up to 300, 305 if the conditions are right, but I live in that range of about 270 to 290. And I knew that when I went into their facility for a private fitting, which this was a VIP fitting, everybody, it's by yourself. You don't have people hovering over you, waiting to take over the bay. You've got a private appointment with a club fitter. Sometimes a secondary club fitter comes in. You see your numbers go up. I figured on this day that when I went in, my carry distance was going to be between 238 and 245 just because I'm in the cold. I haven't been playing through football season. I'm rusty. But within 25 minutes, my carry distance went up 251, 255, 258. It was really impressive to see. And now that I have the Black Ops driver in my possession, I can't wait to see what it does for me as the weather's warming up and I get to play a little bit more golf. So for you, you got to check out the PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed with it as I am.
Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron and use code Cameron at checkout. That's pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Should point out that you guys watching on War Chant TV and perhaps hanging out are in the Heisen Legal Law Firm chat, dedicated to representing injured clients. That's Heisen Legal Law Firm. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Legal Law Firm, 813-803-0733. For a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Lincoln Law Firm. That is a name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 right now or visit HeisenLincolawFirm.com. Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa. I need a consultation, Tom, about why I keep having dreams in which I run through spider webs. I had another one last night. The second or third time in the last 2 months that I dreamt that I was running through between trees and the damn spider was right there and I couldn't get him off my head and I was running around crazy because he was huge.
Maybe that's I don't know why. Symbolizing Florida State basketball and the you know the situation that they're in. I'm trying to find a sports what it could symbolize in sports because right now most of your teams are doing pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it's a sports related thing. I think it's something else in my non public life or non sports talk show life. It's something else that's eating at me. And I got to get to the root of it, Tom. It's something my brain's trying to tell me, like, you need to take care of this or we're going to keep sending spiders to you every night in a dream. We know how you hate them, but until you catch on to the message we're sending, more spiders for you, dumbass. That's what I'm dealing
maybe
with.
It could be the portal. Maybe it's the portal. Hey, where are these receivers? You know, you're just, you damn think, it, these spider webs are hindering me of going where I want to go.
I can't get these receivers we need or another defensive tackle. This is driving me nuts. Let's see. Here you go. There's a spider dream. You have to enlarge that because I'm blind as a bat. The dreamer is suffering with general anxiety or fear of the unknown. Now, you know, they say that most dream analysis is hogwash, just complete nonsense. It's not rooted in any basis of fact at all. But hey, who knows? Maybe I am suffering from general anxiety or fear of the unknown. I don't. Most of my stuff and most of the things in my life are known. Just like there's no more unknown left. I'm old enough. I've seen that. People say things to me now. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that happened in 84. They're like, Jesus, you were here in 84? I'm like, God, yes. I'd been here for some time. Not Tallahassee, just on Earth. So you can't do it. It's like when you say something to your dad, he's like, I remember in 63 that happened. You're like, Jesus, 63? My goodness gracious. Yeah, I do that now, and I get that same look from kids. Like, my kids bring their friends over and we'll all be talking and I'm grilling and doing something and somebody will say something that happened in 1982 and I'll go or they'll say it happened in 82 and I'll go I think that was 81 or 80. And they're like, were you? Yeah, oh yeah, I was 10 years old, I remember that vividly. The look on their face is the look I have when my dad talks about Y.A. Tittle pops. Jesus.
It's happening to me. 6 months away from being 38, which is basically 40 at that point.
Yeah.
And as I've said, we've met peers up here in New York, just going around and watching games and seeing fans of other teams. Like, oh, they're our age. And then a child walks up behind them that's 16 or 17 years old. You go, huh. So I'm not young anymore. I understand. This happens. Is middle age. I'm approaching middle age squarely. You felt middle aged at 40, didn't you?
I think at 37, yeah, 37, 38. I really enjoyed year 37 of my life, and there was a lot going on at that time, and I think I was like, okay, yeah, I certainly had graduated, and I'm a late bloomer. That is a nice way of me describing being incredibly immature for the larger part of my first 32, 33 years on Earth. You, on the other hand, are a very old soul because you were the last in line and have much older siblings. But I don't, yeah, somewhere in the mid 30s, I began to realize we're at a different stage. And then it happens again when you hit 50, you're like, oh, we're at a different stage again. So back to Florida State for a second. We were talking about, I'll get to the baseball, but we were talking about replacing players on the roster and going through all the guys that left. And obviously, you know, with Keon Coleman, Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Renardo Green, Trey Benson, Jerrion Jones, Jordan Travis, Johnny Wilson, Jaheim Bell, Tatum Bethune, Kalen DeLoach, undrafted free agent, but he, you know, he's gone too. And you go through all these names, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but I was just rattling them off here, of all the guys that are gone. When you say that out loud to yourself, you go, well, damn, I mean, that is a lot. I mean, these are guys that all played pivotal roles in Florida State's success in some of the biggest games of the year last year, and of course, they won all of them. So it's you realize that, but then yet I don't feel like it's nearly as daunting as when I just got done rattling off all the names that Michigan lost, right? They lose their coach. They lose Blake Corum and Loveland and Colson and Barrett and Jenkins and Harrell and McGregor. And, I mean, I pulled up all these guys. I looked up Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, Dallas Turner, J.C. Latham, Jalen Milroe will be back, but that's not a good thing necessarily. I mean, just going through all this, they lost their coach as well, and he happens to be the greatest of all time. So all of a sudden, you go, okay, well, a lot of the great teams lost a lot of people, but I feel all right. I feel all right compared to what they lost and what we lost and what we have coming back and what they have coming back.
Quick interjection. I do believe Malik Benson would agree with you that, yeah, the quarterback coming back for Alabama is not a good thing. Might be why Malik Benson hit the portal and decided to come play with DJU at Florida State.
Yeah. Mm. And I failed to mention – did I fail to mention Trey Benson or did I mention him before when we were congratulating everybody? That was cool. For him as well. There's so many great videos and moments from over the weekend. Obviously, I was very, very happy for Jordan Travis. I failed to mention this before when we were talking about the draft. Sometimes, you know, you evaluate this initially by the, oh, good, they drafted him. Other times you look at a guy and you're like, God, that's a toughie. I wish he hadn't gone there. And I will tell you, even though this has not been a franchise that's had a ton of success in recent memory, I do think Travis went to the perfect situation. Jordan Travis going there where he's not expected to play at all, not even anytime soon, really. You know, like he's got, at the very least, a full year of not having to worry about being the guy, unless, of course, four plays into the season, Aaron Rodgers tears his other Achilles. And there'd be some of us that chuckled about that. But...
Well, it's because of the chemtrails. That's why. That's why his Achilles went. It's not anything he did wrong. It's because of the chemtrails. Be careful now.
So some of us, like I said, would chuckle if that were to happen. But in the meantime, that wouldn't necessarily be good for Jordan Travis. Although, again, I don't think Jordan is expected to do anything this year. So he's got a nice situation. There's some talent there. There's some talent there. So, all right. Ease on in. And go from there. Were you surprised? I wasn't, not trying to take shots, but were you surprised Johnny Wilson fell as far as he did?
No. This was a very deep draft for wide receivers. Very. I think at that position that the Eagles got him, that's incredible value. That could be a huge hit.
There's one thing and one thing only with Johnny Wilson. It's catch the ball or not. You know, NFL teams like their receivers to be able to catch.
I love the situation for him because that's a loaded wide receiver room. There's no pressure on him, you know, not only from the draft position, you're not expecting the world from somebody later in the draft, but I mean, they just re-signed AJ Brown over the weekend, long-term. Devonta Smith's a very good, I mean, he has a different skill set than those guys, but that's a situation where there's not a whole lot of pressure on him. And I think in some ways that might be good. It lets you ease. It's like Jordan Travis. It lets you ease on in. Anything you do in year one is considered a bonus. And it's a discovery process. The fan base loves you, all of those things. Whereas Keon Coleman has expectations immediately on him. Stephon Diggs out the door. He's the one who opens day two of the draft. And he's got Josh Allen thrown to him. Could do worse than that. Could do a whole lot worse than that from a quarterback standpoint. But that's a whole lot of pressure on Keon Coleman. Second round draft picks don't typically have as much pressure as Keon Coleman's going to have, given that Stephon Diggs is now playing in Houston.
Yeah, it strikes me as a kid, though, that is, if healthy, more than capable of shouldering those expectations. He's a very confident human being, to say the least. That was as laid back a press conference as you'll see, humorous as it was. I mean, that's it. That's a laid back dude. So I'm not surprised that he was immediately kind of enjoyable in that setting. And I don't think he feels those kinds of, I don't know, outside perceptions of what he's supposed to be, because he was really good at Michigan State, and he was good here before he got hurt. But you're right, Johnny Wilson's in a nice situation. Jordan Travis is in a great situation. He's not going to be expected to play, so he's got plenty of time. And, you know, by the time he is expected to play, he probably there's no doubt he'll be fully healthy at that point. Just a matter of whether or not he's able to do the process and go through all the things he needs to do as a thrower. But I think for the most part, you kind of celebrate this in a way that not only did you love the sheer numbers, but you could celebrate for a lot of these guys where they went. Like, you can make good arguments for a lot of these guys that that's a perfect fit or a perfect situation. Unlike, remember, we did this with Von Stryker, you and I. We just got done talking about it last week. I mean, the night that he got drafted to the Colts, we were like, ooh, that's not, no. I mean, I'm happy for him, but that is not a good fit at all. This is not going to work.
It was also the night that EJ Manuel went to the Bills in the first round. But yeah, Keon's skill set, it's an oversimplification about weather. You know, it doesn't really get super cold until you get towards playoff time, even in Buffalo. But I just like that you have a physical wide receiver from Florida State, not a speed demon, that is going into a scenario with Josh Allen, Buffalo, a physical division, physical defensive backs, where he's going to have to go jump for the ball, win 50-50s, especially against, like, say, the Jets. They've got extremely physical corners. The Dolphins have one that we all know and played here. But you're going to have to fight through a lot of contact to go win a 50-50 ball. You've got a quarterback who's got a rocket for an arm. His skill set, I think, marries very nicely. It pairs very nicely. For Keon, let's just say in the same division, if he went to Miami, I don't know that's a fit. They want to be about speed, clearly, and they double down on that. They want to be very much about speed. That's not Keon's game. But I think with what Buffalo is trying to do offensively, nice fit, nice situation, and a Noel that could be playing some important games in December and January, and likely figures to be playing some important games. A lot of times when you got draft picks, they go to Renardo Green could be playing in some very important games as a rookie. That's the cool thing, is you're going to get this treat not only in weeks 1 through 10, but also in the playoffs potentially.
Yeah, and Renardo Green's fit is perfect as well. I know we've talked about it, but it's really, really good fit there. I thought one of the more touching videos, there were so many good ones over the weekend, and a lot of them, again, involving Florida State players. The one that stood out is obviously watching Jared Verse and Braden Fisk take that phone call and have that conversation together and the emotions that pour out there. But, man, Tatum Bethune getting that phone call and having an opportunity to talk to John Lynch and then his head coach and others there, and then you hear him start to break down towards the end of that when he's talking to the linebacker coach. I was so happy for him, because that's a guy, A, I did not think would get drafted. And, you know, he gets drafted in the 7th round. He's a guy that's played so much football. I mean, just a lot of football. And I've always appreciated that while there were aspects of his game that I thought were limited, it's one of the reasons that, you know, he had to play as much college football as he did and went in the 7th round. He is a pro's pro and a hard worker and a tough SOB. The dude has played through a lot of pretty nagging injuries. And go to that game in the ACC Championship, right where I was, the box I was in, you could see he hurt his knee very early on. And I remember thinking, this is not good. I was talking with Ingram in the moment. I'm like, do you see that? He said, yeah, he just went into the tent. Came out, he was hurting, and it's later in that game that he gets the pick in the end zone, and he's still making plays because he's tough as can be, and he's smart. He's had to get by sort of guts, guile, intelligence, right? That's what, because he's not a physical freak, so he's had to get by with that. I like to see guys like that who work that hard get rewarded. Good for him. Yeah, good for all those guys, but that was a really cool moment. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom, a salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
So the baseball team does go on the road and get the series victory it needed against Duke. And I want to continue to point something out here, that they're winning and they're finding a way. Even in the series that they lose, they'll pick off a game here or there to kind of tread water. This series, they do win on the road, which is significant, continues to help the RPI and keep them in contention for a top eight national seed. They have a huge series coming up this weekend against NC State as they roll into town. And again, the reason I'm bringing any of this up is that Florida State is still without two of their weekend starters. And what it does to the rotation and how difficult it makes things in regards to, certainly you saw what happened yesterday. I mean, they're out of pitching by the time they get to Sunday, so you got to win those first two games. But look at a guy like Dorsey, who continues to prove that he's going to long-term be pretty special. He had a final line, if you go back and look, six innings pitched. He gave up seven hits, one walk, eight Ks, only the two runs, threw over 100 pitches. This has been a guy that has had to do it in long relief, has had to do it out of the pen in crucial situations with runners in scoring position. He's been a guy that's been asked to start. He's done a little bit of everything, and he's handled it very, very well. If you think about just his starts alone, he's been very, very good. And then for Abraham, I thought coming into that game with a situation where it felt like, oh, here we go again. He gets the second out, induces that pop-up, and then he gets the weak line drive to second to end the game. I thought that was absolutely huge for Florida State. And I didn't care what happened yesterday. I wanted to win. Everybody wants to win. You're playing the games. You want to win. But once they got the great effort in the Friday game and the following day, they get the great win, nail-biter as it was, on Saturday, you thought, Sunday happens, whatever it is, we're good to go. We won that series. I would have thought would have seen Ben Barrett, did not over the weekend, was kind of wondering when that was going to happen. Oh, wait, actually, we did see, that's right. But I thought we were going to extend him further. And probably that's, you know what, maybe moving ahead, probably going to do that this upcoming weekend as they continue to add to his workload, because 20 pitches, whatever that is, 30 pitches, I think it was max, is what they wanted to get to. He can play a much more significant role from the right side for them if he's able to do more. And I suppose there's going to be a turn for the other two when they come back, Leiter and Whitaker, because we keep hearing they are. How long will it take them to get up to speed as well?
This gets fun. You're starting to see where those arms slot. This is the thing you keep saying, is when you get everybody healthy, you can slot everybody back into a better role. I wonder if Carson Dorsey isn't just one, is your third. Well, I wonder if he's not. You're going to have to fight a battle. It's a good one. When everybody gets healthy, of who do you want to be your long guy or your setup man twice in a weekend series when it really matters, or two times in 3 days in the ACC baseball tournament, you know, or two times in a traditional regional where you got four teams and now you're in the winner's bracket. Dorsey does pitch well in those situations, but I mean, again, this was nails on Saturday. This was a very important win for Florida State in a big setting, and he was up to the task. I think you might want to reward him with perhaps a start in those situations. And if that's the case, then Whitaker or Barrett can slot back and be an emergency arm in case you got to go stretch in a regional because you drop a game, or they could be somebody who's available twice out of the bullpen. Oxford, I thought, was awesome, obviously, on Friday night. So you've got, if everybody is back, the collection of arms behind Arnold, you've got about four or five that you really trust, and then some dudes with stuff that you can put out there in spots. And maybe it's just for a third of an inning, or because the lineup is staggered with back-to-back lefties or back-to-back righties.
Right.
And it is coming together. It's not perfect.
No.
But you can see the finish line where they've got more options that don't have you biting your fingernails, that your season can be over because we have no options. It's not just the Clemson roadie anymore. You know, the Wake roadie, even though it was a doubleheader the second day and it limited your options, we do have those visions about we can't throw strikes. And I think that's always going to give us a little bit of trepidation as we continue on in May, which is the big month of the year. But they have, it looks like they're going to have about a half dozen pitchers that they can trust when push comes to shove at the end of this month.
If you get everybody back, some of those arms that cannot throw strikes at this stage of their young career will not be asked to do much of anything other than pitching a blowout. You know, like if you're up 20-0 in the sixth, okay, let's bring in a couple of these guys that have had a hard time. We can withstand the wildness in this moment. But really, getting everybody back where they're supposed to be, and they have been able to, you know, kind of identify people who can handle these situations. I mean, there are a couple of these guys that I don't think envisioned having to pitch that have kind of figured it out and been pretty good. Not consistently great, but have had their fair share of moments where you thought, okay, in a pinch, we could go here. And yeah, look at the way the schedule's working out. I was just going to bring this up, Tony. Great point. No midweek game this week. They actually had an effing normal weekend series, a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday. Okay, we were not moving things up to Thursday for television. We're not condensing this to a doubleheader. You know, none of that nonsense. We had it all kind of worked out nice. Everybody gets plenty of rest this week before you have a huge series against NC State. Let's hope certainly you can take two out of three at home against NC State, if not sweep. You're right where you want to be. I just don't know what the timetable is at this point as to when you get everybody back. You know, when, let's say they clear Leiter to pitch now. Let's just say while we're on the show, they're like, yep, Leiter's a go. How soon can you stretch him out? How soon till he goes more than an inning or two?
And then what day do you pitch him? I don't think you can give him Friday anymore. I know you, typically the adage is that you don't lose your spot because of injury.
Oh, but screw that. You can lose your spot.
Yeah, and he's had issues. He's had control issues. I mean, his ERA is in the fours for a reason. So I don't think he's your Friday guy anymore. And do you pitch him on Saturday? And because sometimes the implications of a guy like that who is a little bit wild or is coming off of an injury, you want to pair him with somebody else. If it goes bad with my starter, who I'm trying to lengthen or maybe sometimes is a bit inconsistent, I have X pitcher to go with him who could pitch two or three innings or four innings if he really needs to. I think you might want to start him at Sunday as he ramps up and allow Arnold and Dorsey to be your one and your two. And if you've got enough time. Now, time is not of the essence just yet.
We're getting there.
In about 2 weeks, time is most certainly of the essence.
Well, that's what I mean. How quickly do we start to see them eating meaningful innings and to a point where you feel comfortable in a big series, a postseason series, where you could say, all right, we've got them back. They've been lengthened to 70, 80, now 90, 100 pitches. I know I can start him here. I mean, you can figure out whether you want to start him on a Saturday or Sunday, but you got to get to a place where he can even do that. And I would suggest they're not going to be close right when they come back. Now, I know they're throwing, so we'll see. I mean, you're trying to build them up out of the public eye right now, getting them back up. But, man, how quickly would you feel comfortable in a big ACC tournament game or certainly even, obviously, a regional game, letting them pitch to that end? Can they give you five?
Yeah, I think that's probably a question for Coach Posey as we go down the stretch here. Is how many guys can you pitch two out of 3 days, a Friday, a Sunday? If, say, Brennan Oxford pitches, he throws 40 pitches on a Friday. Is he available on Sunday? Like, what is the policy here? I know as you get to regionals, it's all hands on deck, and so you break some of those rules that you would have for the regular season. But I think that helps answer the question. Like, if I'm trying to put together a weekend rotation and Cam is back, I'm thinking Arnold Oxford as one and two on Friday. Dorsey Saturday, we'll figure it out. But then I want my best setup man, my best long man, to be available on Sunday in case it goes bad as my guy's trying to ramp up. And, you know, it would be nice if Whitaker or Barrett are lengthened at that point as well, because then you could basically, it's like a tryout for who your rotation is going to be in the postseason. But you want to get those things started here pretty soon. It's a big weekend series. I know NC State's number 20 in the RPI. They're 30th in the Boyd's World, or top 30 in Boyd's World ISR. If you get two out of three this weekend again, I mean, you really are staring a top eight national seed in the face.
Yes, you are.
Mission accomplished by going 3-3 on these last two road series.
Well, we looked at that series, and I said to you when we were talking on Thursday or whenever that was last week, and we both kind of said, like, man, I don't – people talk about wanting to win these series, and you brought up at some point you have to win one of these series, and I agreed it would be nice, and certainly you want to, in order to maintain your spot, be able to do that, but I thought it wouldn't be the end of the world as long as you didn't get swept, because I knew we were treading water. Like, they're just treading water, man. They just got to try to find a way to limp this thing across the finish line of the regular season and have all their pitchers back. Because, to me, yes, top eight national would be great. We want to host. It'd be fun. But I think they got a chance to beat anybody anywhere at any time if they have all their arms. So, to me, that was the ultimate goal. Just find a way not to fall off a cliff. And while they were hovering around 500 in this little six to, if you want to extend it out to nine game stretch, 10 game stretch, I was kind of like, well, you know, if you go 5-5 over 10 or 4-6, you'll be all right. Just get your guys back.
Yeah, that would be probably a top 16. You're hosting a regional. Yeah. That's all fine. I'm just greedy. I'm greedy.
Yeah, you want it all.
Well, I do believe in college baseball, an atmosphere like Hauser can make a difference.
It does.
I do. You know, in Major League Baseball, it doesn't. Except for the one time the Pirates, who were they heckling? Was it a Dodger pitcher?
No,
who
were they heckling? It was the Reds in the playoffs. It was, what's his face, who had the dreads?
Cueto?
Yes, Johnny Cueto.
Yeah. Yeah. So that aside, you really don't see that too often in a Major League Baseball setting.
Yeah, he dropped the ball for nerves, and then he gave up a home run.
It yes, exactly. That happens all the time in college baseball. So I am greedy, and we're here. So since we're here, and I'm talking about teleporting back to last Thursday, we have an opportunity here to go on the road, take two out of three from Duke.
And we did.
Come back home and mash. I mean, look, Tibbs hit a home run yesterday. He's closing in on 20. That's all well and good. But he hasn't exactly been red hot. So if he ratchets it back up
here
in this last
month. Yeah, it's going to happen, right?
No, sure. I'm not. Yeah. This is not a criticism. It's just saying that, you know, the guy we had the first 6 weeks of the season, he's cooled off a little bit. You get that bat hot again as these arms go. Obviously, they've got four dudes, I think, that are ops in over 1,000 at this point. Dinges has been awesome. Ferrer's got 14
home runs.
Dinges
has been incredible. And doesn't he have – why? It's amazing. I know it just is happenstance. Also speaks to the lengthening of your lineup and guys getting on base. My man is not prone to the solo shot. He is prone to the get you some. Here's a grand slam. Here's a three-run bomb for that ass. Here's a game-changing moment for my home run. He doesn't fool around. Not knocking people who hit solo home runs. I mean, Ferrer hits a million of them, and they're important. They're important. But it's really a byproduct of where they are in the lineup and how often people get on base.
There was a time where A-Rod was a specialist in an 8-2 ball game.
Oh, he would hit an eighth-inning home run down 10. He would do it, wouldn't he?
Or up 10. Either way, you're like, oh, there you go. There's your 10th of the season when the score is out of reach one way or the other.
Yeah.
Great job getting a 30, though, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, Dinges is funny, though, man. When he comes up and there are ducks on the pond, I'm like, ooh, here we go. The moment's big. This is going to happen. And he's not bashful about being an a-hole after he hits him. I mean, it's going to take 25, 35 seconds to get around those bases. There's a whole sort of sign language conversation going on with the bench as he gets to first about an hour after he hit the home run. There's the screaming at the outfield. By the way, who's everybody pointing to out in the outfield when they hit the home run? Are they pointing to the outfielder? Are they saying suck it as they round first base? If they hit one out to right center and they do the point, your parents aren't out in right center. There's no stands out there. Your parents aren't out there. You're pointing at who? The dude that ran down and got the ball? Who are you pointing to?
They're pointing at Terrence Mann, who just walked through the cornfields. That's who they're pointing at. People will come, Ray. Say, what's up, Terrence? That one is for you and for the Holy of Holies.
I'm always laughing. I'm like, who the hell are you pointing at? I think you're really telling him to go to hell is what you're doing. You're pointing at that right fielder who ran to the fence and had to look up at said dong. Hour number two, forthcoming, Jeff Cameron Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV.
Attention.